Hi, everyone. So let me share to you one important thing that I hope every teacher could take advantage of. I've been working with Marshall Cavendish Education, and with the rise in online learning, on the go, and at the convenience of the learner, Marshall Cavendish Education partnered with Nanyang Technological University of Singapore, NTU, to provide bite-sized online learning courses for the educators to continue their professional development. The learning platform MC EduHub for Educators comprises of short online courses offered by NTU that are designed to build specific skill sets for the modern day educator. The first course, Designing Effective Online Lessons, which will be certified by NTU, addresses the urgent need to help educators design effective online learning lessons for their students. In the coming months, more related courses will be revealed on MC EduHub for Educators. Register for an account on MC EduHub now, and if you will click on the description of this episode, you'll be able to see the Google form where you will be able to sign up for your account. And of course, you will see a few courses that I'll be making for online learning, and I hope that you'll be able to take advantage of those courses that I've designed in collaboration with Marshall Cavendish Education and their partner Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. So thank you. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Empowered Podcast, season number 7. And today we'll be shifting our perspective, and we are very much happy to welcome a parent. Well, she is the executive, one of the executive director, I think, of PowerMac. She's handling the training program of PowerMac, by the way. She's going to be here with us, not as a tech expert, but as a parent. So I'm sure she will be applying her knowledge on technology, because that's her expertise also. But I'm pretty sure we are very much interested on her perspective as a parent and how she's trying to make the most out of the online distance learning that her sons are undergoing. So with much joy and with much pride, of course, because she's our friend. She's been also, her team has been also supporting Empower Ed. So let's welcome Ms. Maling Raisag of PowerMac. Hi, Ms. Maling.
Hi, Sir Jim. How are you?
That was the quickest introduction that I have had for Empower Ed. But before we start, can I just repeat that Maling, her team, and PowerMac has been one of the most faithful, is that the proper term? They've been endlessly supporting Empower Ed. We have an app because of our collaboration with her team. During our first conference, they were there also. They've been constantly supporting us. So we're very much thankful. So I think that's the first thing that we want to say to Maling and her team. We're very much thankful at Empower Ed for the support.
In behalf of my team, we are very proud of you, Sir Jim, also. No? So we believe in all your programs, plans, and I look at you as an international idol among the teachers. No? So you are always supported by my team.
Yeah, thank you. That's
true, Sir Jim. No, I've been with the company for almost, my God, 20 years now. No, but on a weekday, we are on hybrid. You're right. Because of the pandemic, I do work from home, and at the same time, we have on-site reportings. And of course, though most of my life is devoted to working, I'm also a mother, no? Yeah. Of two boys. One is on grade 9, and the youngest is at grade 3, no? Both of them are on online learning now.
Yeah. So just a disclaimer also, this is not a paid promotion. So just a disclaimer to everyone. But yeah, we're just very thankful, Ms. Maling, and to the team. Maling and I go back way 2016, I think.
Yes.
I think we met around 2016. Of course, we share the same passion on technology integration. But
and 20 pounds ago, Sir Jim.
20, yes, you should see our pictures. The first time we met, we were so, so healthy. Yeah. But right now, Ms. Maling, she's here to help us gain more understanding of what it means to support one's children who are doing online distance learning, especially when you are a working parent. So I think the first question really is, Ms. Maling, what have you learned about being a parent, a working parent, and then have working from home, then having your kids learning from home also? Yeah.
So thank you for that wonderful question, Sir. The usual intro of everyone, no? So, nung pumutok tong pandemic na to, just like everyone else, I was in panic, no? I am the type of parent na always monitoring the grades of their kids, making sure that they're just not just nurtured, but also there's a structure, they have clear goals, and then suddenly, everything was turned around, no? So everything was chaotic at first. I'm trying to make myself calm, and because we're also experiencing some what you call these changes at work, and I'm trying to make my kids also calm down. All of us, everything is chaotic. So the first thing I did was to buy them a toy. I may be seen as a bad mom. I don't know if I did the right decision. But yes, I bought Nintendo. Because somehow, it made me feel that it was summer, eh, I think, no? Nung pumutok yung pandemic. Tama ba?
Yeah.
Or towards summer. So as I'm trying to make everything work on my end, that Nintendo thing allowed my kids to release whatever tension, to defocus their trouble inside. Because they're also afraid, what is this COVID? Can we still go back to school? Can we see our classmates? And technically, the last quarter was hanging at that time. And everybody is not ready for the online transition. So to cut the long story short, I had to be agile. I told myself, if I cannot fix my world, my own home, how can I fix the emotions of my kids, no? So yeah, the first thing I did was to create a virtual classroom inside my house. So the only air-conditioned room inside my house is the sleeping area. So I bought a nice big table where we placed all the gadgets and technology, and then I tried to upgrade our internet connections. So all along I thought that would be okay, no? Having all the physical things, no? It was a difficult thing at first because I couldn't find a very, what you call this, a corner or a place inside our home which is conducive for learning, no? We have, yeah, six dogs, two cats, so you could imagine how chaotic it is. But eventually, I was able to designate a location to make them feel that this is your virtual classroom. So, hey, whenever you go there, that's your school. That's where teachers come out, classmates come out, and that's where you do your lessons, no? So it was so difficult because of the limited space at home. And of course, I tried to buy more gadgets to make sure that there is available technology. And as a parent, I tried, it was difficult but satisfying, I'd like to say. Because in the past, I get to know only the learning experiences of my kids whenever it's end of the quarter, diba? So the teachers would call you if your child is in trouble or there are problems at school. But now, every day, I hear what happens inside the classroom. It's like I'm an observer. Whenever they're having classes, I could hear the discussions, almost everything. So parang every day, I can easily gauge what's happening inside the learning experience of my child. And I know that maybe I was just so easy to adjust, but a lot of other parents may not be experiencing the same. A lot of parents or guardians are unprepared, no? So that was, I think, one of the toughest thing for all parents, no? Like me, when my kid would come to me and ask me for some math-related questions, I tell him, go ask YouTube, go ask Google. So there are things I can help. Filipino, AP, all the other subjects, English, but there are subjects that I cannot help them out. So those are some of the struggles, no? Unpreparedness on the part of the parent, trying to make a lot of adjustments, and of course, convincing your kids that this too shall pass, everything will be okay.
Love the answers, Ms. Maling. I want to go back to your first the first things that you've done. It's actually to prepare the physical setup, the environment. It was so difficult. Even I think we did the same, although I just prepared for myself how to do work from home. I just live in a small box apartment. So, I mean, it's a studio type. I can see everything. Like, it's just there. And because my place is so small, I had to designate like a working table, have this nice background or whatever. But I do understand. And I think that was a very good step. Preparing. A lot of parents actually that I know actually invested first on laptops or technology. And then when they bought those technologies and brought them home, the big question was, where will we put them? Where will they study? Like what you've said, they can hear dogs, chicken, cats, the drilling of the streets and all those kinds of things. That was very wise of you, how you prepared. For those who are listening to us or watching us right now, Miss Maling, or Maling, is also or was also a former teacher, by the way. So she has a background of what it means to ask the students to study well. Moving on, Maling, on the idea of unpreparedness, right? And you were able to see, like, as an observer, what's happening with your kids and their teachers. In a general view, I'm pretty sure you also have parent friends. You're also working with other schools right now. What has been, or did you see if schools were also unprepared? So it's not just parents, but even schools in general?
That's a very nice question, Sir Jim. No? There are schools that are unprepared and schools that are prepared. Those who already adopted on the one-to-one technology are definitely the ones taking advantage of this transition to online learning. But those who are resistant to it, just the idea of buying computer was so tough for a lot of schools in the past. But now, just in 1 month time, all the teachers must learn. All the teachers tried to self-learn and tried to acquire their own gadgets to do this thing. No? So unpreparedness is not just about the physical gadgets, but it is also, I think, about the mental preparations, the technological skills involved just in simply using the Zoom. I remember there was one instance that one of my child during a Zoom saw that their teacher was cooking. So the teacher said to them, okay, turn off your camera. So the, all the students turned off their camera, and then the teacher started doing, going to the kitchen and cooking. So the teacher was not knowledgeable na it should be her who should turn off her cam. So those are some of the adjustments, I guess, no, on the part of the teacher. And on the part of the parent like me, I used to be very grade conscious about the grades of my kids, no? But now that it's pandemic, I just ask myself, is it better for them not to continue learning or just to have a little bit of learning amidst this chaos? So I try to lessen the pressure for good grades, no? I focus now more on the overall well-being of my child. Okay, so when I gauge them, it's not only the academic or the cognitive growth that they're, do they have much knowledge? We know that DepEd mandated that there will be only minimum learning competencies, something like that, no, for all the curriculums implemented in school. So right now, what I do is to make sure I somehow use the balanced scorecard. So for me, it's not just purely academic. I also consider their emotional, social, spiritual, and physical aspect as a boy. So every day, I constantly ask them, check them. I try to get their feedback. What happened to your school today? What is the best thing that your teacher did today? And of course, I hear a lot of complaints from my boys, but that's part of it, no? So somehow they can release the tension that they have. The initial problem we had during the first few months of this online learning, all teachers probably felt that they're not giving enough to their students. So for example, my eldest has 10 subjects. Imagine in a day, he has 10 subjects and 10 assignments to complete. May essay, may quiz, may video, may paragraph, and all that. So it's almost impossible to finish all of these assignments in one day. So he came to a point that he was like so depressed, and maybe the pressure of still making good at school and trying to complete all the requirements. So the teachers did not realize at first that the students are overwhelmed with schoolwork. Even after the class, they call it, diba, synchronous and asynchronous learning. So after the asynchronous learning, they still have to complete their assignments up to sometimes midnight. So that was really tough. No, it took a while before the teachers realized, okay, we can give at least 2 assignments per week per subject. So it became more achievable for my kids. And of course, I'm glad you mentioned about the physical setup. I guess, Sir Jim, that's very important. And aside from the physical setup, the day-to-day learn from home routine is also important, no? You have to structure a routine. Because when they wake up in the past, they go to the bathroom, take a bath, eat their food, and then take the school bus. Now, there's nothing like that. So the tendency is to wake up, not take a bath, not brush up, eat quickly, sit in front of the computer. So as a mother, I try to force them, I really force them to still follow the usual routine. Even if it's not a physical school that they go to, they still need to be, parang be part of the routine that they've established in the past especially the hygienic part, no? So that they can continue feeling the difference between home and schoolwork. And of course, I make sure that their space is away from the distractions. I remove all the televisions, all the other toys. I put it in another room. So I did not know it immediately on day one, no? It was also a growing and learning day-to-day experience for me, hit and miss type. And I try to be kind to myself as well, no? There are days that I was really bad and days that I'm good. So I just give myself a little pat on the back. Ultimately, my objective is to make them independent learner. And I can say that I am successful with my eldest, but my youngest is still hard to, the grade 3 kid, it's really hard to make him do the things or follow the things on his own. So those are some of the challenges that I face right now.
Two things from what you've shared. Number one, the sense of normalcy. I think that was very, very good, very effective, actually, even in school right now. Even parents, that's the target, give the students or give the kids a sense of what is normal, what was done before. We did imagine, I remember before, like a lot of parents, a lot of teachers even were just, thinking that maybe after a month we will go back because the pandemic should be contained easily. And then we're already more than a year into the pandemic, and we know how our sense of what was normal was actually broken down, and we had to reestablish what is the new normal for all of us. But like what you've said, very interesting, because there are a lot of studies that says even the act of showering, taking a bath, grooming yourself, actually helps the mind to get conditioned that there is something next. Like, we need to prepare ourselves for the lesson or for school. Even if we're at home, taking a bath and making sure that you're groomed well actually prepares the mind, alerts the body for the virtual classes. I think that was very good. The second one is, I love that you've mentioned about how teachers are also, adapting, and it takes a lot of vulnerability and sincerity for teachers, right, and for schools to really say that, oops, I think we had a mistake, and we're trying to change it. I think that's the narrative right now. Because we're doing this for the first time, we're constantly learning, and personally, I love schools who are so open. Right now, I think the school has to be very open to the feedback of parents, because parents can actually see now what's happening in the virtual classes. So, kudos, hats off to teachers and school leaders and schools. Are very open to parent feedback. Very interestingly, before schools complain that, for example, I'm just making this out of fun. Maling and I are close. Maling does not show up. Before, Maling does not even show up in school, right? But during the pandemic, she's actually more active because she can already see. I think that was a very challenging part for some schools. Before, they were looking for parents. Now that the parents are very much involved, some of them are actually saying that it's too much. But I think that's the next step, really. How do we define what is enough or what is appropriate in terms of parent involvement? I don't think there should be I don't think we can really stop parents, because they are part. They're part of the schooling. I think the challenge right now is, how do we properly define the role of each one? Right.
That's a very interesting point, Sir Jim. No, I think the challenge for us parents now is to how do we become extraordinary parents under the new normal? And what type of parent involvement can help our kids really succeed in school, no? So we have to define a lot of things, no? Even the word succeed should be defined as well, no? Like, there are schools that do not give examinations anymore or do not give definitive
number grades.
So how do you gauge if your kid is really learning or not, or this year is just really passing by and we're back to zero? So it's really tough, no? So I think the being open and constant communication with the school, no? So in my case, I find the parent and teacher group chats very, very helpful, no? Now, the school are able to send us message on a weekly basis about the unsubmitted work or the pending works. Or if the teachers fail to give us that information, we simply look to Google Classroom, if they're using Google Classroom, and you can see all the pending works of your child. And one of the best practices that the class advisor of my son is doing right now, given a quarter with 8 weeks, on the fifth week, she will send us a table, a chart of all the subjects. Yeah, and tells us these are missed submissions and all that. And you can immediately contact the teacher via email or Zoom or Messenger. They're very easy to reach now, no? They respond immediately. So you can really help your child submit all the needed things, no? On the part of my kid, siguro ano, ako na yung kaklase niya ngayon, Sir Jim. Would you believe? It's so hard. No, so these are my roles, just to tell you. When he had an assignment for PE that he needed to dance cha-cha and Zumba, I was the female classmate dancing, yeah, doing the PE work. And when my son needed a performance task for Filipino games, he needed a playmate for Luksong Baka. So I was the one who became his playmate. There are times that I'm also the cameraman. And sometimes when they get all the glasses at home, fill it with different solutions because they cannot go to their science lab, like the densities of sugar and water, I am the lab assistant, no? So these are the roles of the parent now. And I think my child appreciates, and I also appreciate the learning process now that I'm part of it, no? So I know that the learnings that they have may not be perfect, but somehow it is sufficient for this crisis that we are in now. So I'm glad that there are things like that. So aside from having parent-teacher group chats, parent-to-parent communication is also quite satisfying, no? So sometimes we have different chat rooms as parents and we discuss, how do we go about this project? How do we submit? Can you refer us some sites where we can find more about Dolimetang, Here, and stuff like that? So those are the type of involvement that we have now for our children. And I really believe that parent involvement is a key to success, no? Traditionally, teachers blame parents for the failure of their children. And as parents, we blame the teacher for the failure of our students. But now we are partners. We are collaborating. We have no choice but to be in constant communication. And when you are in constant communication to the teacher or the school as a partner for the learning of your child, if it's the fault of your child, you can really accept it, diba? In your heart na, oh, yes, the teacher did everything for my child. And it's really the fault of my child, something like that, no? And I think the most important thing that I can provide my child right now is for them to feel that the basic thing, no, that he is safe, I can comfort him for his increased self-esteem. Those things are more important. Self-work. It's not about knowledge all the time, no? And yes, there's still fear about COVID. Yes, there's still longing on how they can see their classmates. And right now, I know that my son, especially the eldest one, after school, they have this online gaming, and he constantly talks to his classmate, no? He talks to his classmates, not only about projects, no? So kudos to all those teachers who give collaborative work, projects, research, and other stuff. The kids are now learning how to do online discussion. Sometimes they argue, sometimes they fight. I could hear them. And at times they talk about girls. You can imagine, you know, they're really being teenagers at this time. So I still feel that they're growing up healthy, despite of all the difficulties they're having now, no? They're more talkative now. In the past, they're just, you could see the grumpy face. But now they're more relaxed. Probably they're at home. The fridge is just there, easy to to grab food. So there are a lot of pluses, and all of these pluses are helping me understand more and appreciate what's happening to them.
All right. I think what Maling has really shared to us well is how parents and teachers are really working together right now. And it very interestingly, it took a pandemic for us to realize that parents and teachers can work better, much better. But I think that's one thing that we could bring post pandemic. I think that's one lovely thing that we could continue doing, a stronger collaboration, stronger partnership between the home and the school. And it would be very lovely to see that is continued, of course, to help the students or the children learn better. All right. So that ends our discussion, Ms. Maling. That was very interesting. Thank you for sharing all your personal experience as a parent. Kudos also to you for I think the best word that Maling has shared to us right now or reminded us is actually the growth in every one of us, the idea that we are constantly growing in every experience that we have, whether we're students, whether we're parents, whether we're teachers. I think the pandemic has made us realize that we don't know everything, but we can learn from all the experiences that we have to become, you know, better persons, do the specific roles that we have right now. All right. Ms. Maling, maybe this is the time for you. As the head of the Training Center Power Mat, anything that you could invite our listeners to do concerning your projects right now?
Thank you about that, Sir Jim. Before I end also, Sir Jim, no, I think one thing that I wanted to see more in this online thing is increased nationalism-related projects. Yeah, my kids are very much into YouTube channels, so they tend to look at YouTube and Google as the people and authority or the sources of knowledge, and they dream of becoming somebody like them. And I feel that they have less information about the beauty of our country, why we should love our own nation, and stuff like that. So more nationalism work. And because they're always seated in front of the computer, I also want to have more physical activities. No? So after singing the national anthem, maybe they can do some real exercise that where teachers can really look at them and see them do some jump jacks and stuff like that. And yes, I'd like to promote our Everyone Can Code and Everyone Studio. Please visit powermaxcenter.com. That's where you can find all our services. We have Apple certified trainers and we're an Apple authorized training provider. So we hope we will be able to provide the services needed of both students, educators, and professionals during this pandemic, especially those who would like to have great and relevant experience for their digitalization. Thank you so much, Eugene.
Thank you, Ms. Maling. We are very grateful for your presence and for your sharing. And to our listeners, thank you for staying with us. And we hope that you're all safe and healthy as we continue to face and dance with the pandemic. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Ms. Maling. Goodbye, everyone.